This English version of the podcast was created using AI-based voice synthesis from the original German recording.
Business Shift.
Business Shift.
The podcast for decision makers and executives who want to deal with the topic of sustainability in a sustainable way. Welcome to Business Shift, the podcast that changes perspectives and explores the question of how to make more out of business, namely sustainable and future-proof. I'm Tobias Kirchhoff, your host from TÜV Rheinland. And at my side in the studio, I welcome our sustainability expert from TÜV Rheinland, Dr. Bahar Schad-Krauser, again today. Welcome, Bahar.
Hello, Tobias. Nice to have me back at it.
I'm also very happy that you're here again today. In court and on the high seas, you are in God's hands. Is that really true, especially with regard to German and European sustainability legislation? In any case, there are quite a few companies that see it that way and therefore seek the advice of lawyers who are familiar with it. One of these lawyers, we have him as our guest in our studio today, a multi-award-winning lawyer and sought-after speaker, Dr. Christoph Schork from the law firm Heuking Kühn Lühr Wojtek. Dear Christoph, welcome.
Hello, Tobias. I'm glad I'm here.
Christoph, you have the following quote. We will only master global challenges such as climate change and the protection of natural resources if we remain technologically open and look for innovative solutions. Instead of bans, I rely on research and clever ideas. Of course, the question immediately arises, how cleverly and innovatively has Germany regulated the topic of sustainability so far in your view?
There is still a lot of room for improvement, I would say. So maybe take a step back. How cleverly has Germany regulated this? Germany has to regulate many things that it is actually served by the EU, so to speak. And there we are actually already in the middle of the whole topic. Germany has taken a few initiatives. The Supply Chain Act, we were a bit of a front runner there. And there are many other things that Germany will have to implement in the future. Yes, Germany simply has to implement laws from the EU into German law, and then the problems start.
What a mess. I'll call it that. Regulation, i.e. laws, norms are we talking about? Are we talking about thousands of laws or what? How many laws are in the making per se or important at the moment?
I haven't counted it, but there are already a few. Yes, these are large clusters. So of course, that's a lot of climate, that's a lot of human rights. There is this term ESG, so you can actually sort it wonderfully under it. Environmental, social, and governmental. These are the three generic terms to categorize everything. And often it's also sub-areas that you somehow say we have to do something about it again. It's not uniform. I think we counted about 60, which are under discussion or already through.
That's quite a lot, I would say.
Absolutely. And we see that our customers ask us this in projects too. And I'm also interested in your thoughts, Christoph. If it is actually going in the direction of the Supply Chain Due Diligence Act, it is going in the direction of green claims so slowly, and it is going in the direction of the Deforestation Act, for example, or of course, everything that has to do with reporting CSRD. Would you confirm that? Are these the most important ones?
At least these are the ones that are on everyone's mind at the moment, because there is sometimes real pressure on it. They have to be implemented. There are deadlines. So these are exactly the ones you mentioned who I think are all a bit upset at the moment, whereby you say, yes, it's actually a good thing. For example, human rights. I don't think anyone will say they are not in favor of human rights. Only when he starts and implements all this does he notice quite a lot of work, quite tedious. Then I somehow need people who do it and help me. Then I have to do a relatively large amount of reporting. I think that's why two hearts beat in people's chests. Actually, they think it's good. And when it's their turn, they just curse. Often they come to us and we help them a little.
Tobias, you also asked the question, is the legislation wise? I also think that's an important question because I would always expect legislation to be coordinated somehow, to go hand in hand. This means that if I have the CSRD, then of course, elements of the Supply Chain Due Diligence Act are also stored there somehow. What is your assessment there? Do we have to keep refocusing on what the individual topics are? So my experience is that it is not always easy to put the requirements on top of each other.
You're right. If you were to ask the question again now, are they clever? I would say, yes, they are totally clever, the laws, because they fulfill the goal behind them. So, for example, you mentioned the deforestation regulation, which is a European regulation. It is now being postponed again, but it will come shortly. And it is actually supposed to ensure that products that are sold here in the EU are deforestation free. Everyone will say it's such a smart thing and it works. The way the law is made, it works. It will lead to the fact that there are no more products here that are not deforestation free. The problem with the matter is that it is so complicated, there are so many things to do, that the path to it cannot be fulfilled in principle or can only be fulfilled with great difficulty. And that's actually our problem. So, smart laws And somehow in the implementation, I would rather give a 4.
To unravel the matter piece by piece, let's perhaps approach it from the entrepreneur's point of view. So I'm an entrepreneur, so I want to continue to be economically successful and I want to be sustainable. What is the most important thing about these new sustainable laws, these sustainability laws that I have to take care of in order to comply with them?
Yes, maybe speaking a bit from the experience of the last few years, I think it's always incredibly important to know what has priority for me. And the legislation, which is always aimed at a certain company size, turnover size. And of course, the first step would be to look first, am I affected by regulation and legislation at all? If not, it still doesn't mean that I can just wait and sit. But of course, there are also requirements that then arrive from business partners, for example, where they say, okay, I am obliged to report, I have to report my emissions. And that, of course, also includes the emissions from my supply chain. That means that I then, of course, ask my suppliers directly. That means, to come back to your question, I think it's important to orient yourself and really look at where I stand, really determine my status quo and say, okay, what are the topics that affect me directly in practice? My company, my industry, in order to prepare myself accordingly. And if I'm then, of course, affected by regulation, then I'll hand over to you, Christoph. Then I'll be interested to know what it's like.
You've already said it great in principle, so of course you can be directly affected. Then the law applies to you, then you have to implement it, then there are deadlines. You have already mentioned the second point, which I think is almost more important. Many who do not fall under the legal standards because they are too small, for example, are often in such a customer-supplier relationship, and the customer, possibly from this supplier, from this small company, wants to comply with the law. So he asks you, are you doing it too? Because if you don't do it, then I can't do it either. If I have to do such a risk analysis and check whether I, as a large company, the affected company, comply with the laws and human rights in this case, then of course I have to ask my supplier, the small company. It's like a trickle-down effect. It trickles through from top to bottom and ultimately a kind of indirect effect. And then I'm right in the middle of it, even though I don't fall under the law at all. Then I have to do it anyway to satisfy my customer.
But now a little butter with the fish. You are really legal, you always say it depends. But I'll really say from practice that I'm a medium-sized company. Maybe I have one or two suppliers from abroad, from other European countries. What do you encounter in practice? Keyword legislation, keyword regulation. These are perhaps two things again, but let's start with legislation first.
We do indeed have, and this is sometimes a bit frightening, blind spots. Because sometimes we can't really determine where the raw materials actually come from. At least not if the entire supply chain is to be mapped. I think that's really a high risk. That's why, of course, such a law also has a chance to say, okay, I have to sit down and really do supplier management and see what are the most important raw materials that I source. What are the most important suppliers? Where are they actually located? To really get an overview, are they in high-risk countries?
You never had to. It was always about the quality being right. Then you looked into your supply chain. If the quality was bad, then the whole supply chain was immediately gone. Did you run through it and look where was the problem? But the topic of human rights was uninteresting. You have always looked, go where it is cheapest. Then supply chains formed. The difference, as you just mentioned, is that now you have to create transparency now. You now have to make sure that you also look somewhere back to see if human rights are still being observed. This is new and causes problems because no one had to do it.
That is, in terms of regulation, I'll take it with me. Supply Chain Due Diligence Act is important. And that's where we look at whether social standards, human rights, and environmental issues are complied with within the supply chain.
Yes, it's also there, but it's always a bit focused on human rights. So environment with human rights, I want to put it simply.
Another topic seems to be, Baha, you mentioned it earlier, also reporting. I'll take a look in the direction of Christoph. Is this also an issue for you from a legal point of view?
This is a total topic. And that is also the topic that upsets everyone. And on the other hand, it's just incredibly tedious. I really have to then, well, you can imagine I have to do exams beforehand so that I can write anything down at all. So, that's exactly the core of what everyone is upset about, namely the bureaucracy, because these reports are incredibly complex. The company has to submit a sustainability report as part of its annual reporting. And it has certain requirements, certain things have to be checked, certain questions have to be clarified beforehand, and that is time-consuming. It is also audited, by the way, so just like the annual financial statements, it is audited by an auditor, so I can't write anything down there.
I mean, it's time-consuming, but I think the biggest challenge is really to structure yourself and see what I have, what do I need, because this preparatory work was often not done at all in the context of sustainability activities. Many things may already be available, but you really have to go completely into the company and really analyze all the topics completely. And that's just very, very time consuming. And if the know-how is also missing, then it gets chaotic relatively quickly, I'll say. And that just feels difficult.
Because you mentioned this earlier, I would even take a step further if you haven't sensitized people to the topic at all. They have to be taken along somehow. You have to tell them that sustainability is now something that won't go away. That's here now and it's not all bad for us. Yes, well, if you're looking for new employees, they usually think sustainability is good, so that's also an asset. But you actually have to get the whole organization, the whole company excited about this sustainability a little bit first. So, I'll take a look at you, Baha. That's something you've been doing for years, so to speak, to somehow adopt sustainability as a mindset.
Total. You can't expect everyone to know exactly what is required, right? Often you get such a task on the table, and then the big question is always, okay, what data do I need and where do I get it in the first place? And who even knows what data we have? That means we have to say very, very often that we first have to set up a communication strategy internally and say, okay, who are the people involved? Who can deliver what? And that's actually always the very first step for me to say, okay, who actually knows what and where do we get the data from?
Data is a total topic.
Yes, and I think that's really the biggest hurdle we have internally, the internal data. And we already see major challenges in the company itself. If we then also go into the supply chain, then you can certainly imagine, Tobias, how bustling it can be.
But then I would say as an entrepreneur, so I'll put the topic aside. And I'll take care of other things first, but that's not supposed to be the purpose of the thing. At the moment, when we talk about regulation, it sounds like the word itself, it doesn't have such a positive connotation, but that this is an extreme additional effort when I deal with the law, with sustainability, because as a non-expert, I don't even know at first. But what do I have to do to first provide this proof for the law, which does not mean that I am actively pursuing sustainability?
Absolutely right. And quite honestly, we also learn anew every day because these are all new laws. There is no best practice. You can't open a book and then say, now I'll read it on page 559. So that's new for everyone where you address the entrepreneur. I often really have entrepreneurs who sit there and don't really feel like it. Unfortunately, you have to say that. I can understand that. It is another task that must now also be fulfilled in addition to the climate, in addition to the energy crisis, and what do I know, what else is on the table? But if it starts like this, that the managing director somehow says, actually totally annoying, then you can't really do it.
How do you do that with your customers or clients? Because I always try to say, look, this is a requirement now, we have to get through it now, but actually it's also a chance for you to orient yourself and position yourself in such a way that you can get ahead, really fit for the future. Be honest, if a major customer now asks me for CO2 data or human rights in the supply chain and I can't give any information, then it might go well for 3, 4, maybe 5 years, but at some point I'll be out of the window, right? Shouldn't that actually motivate a company to say, okay, in order to be able to exist at all, to remain marketable at all, I don't really have any other choice?
Absolutely right. So that's, I'd say that's a future, yes. So you create your new products because consumers also want to be sustainable. They also want the environment not to be harmed, that the climate is okay. So I think it's a big asset. Only if you have this topic on the table now, then you don't think about your future, yes, the way we do it. Who then somehow, who look a little bit into the future, then you have this jumble of things that you don't understand, that are complicated, that you don't really have people for. So, and in this mixed situation, they come to us, yes? Then they sit there. I had a case where it started the same way. Somehow it wasn't just one managing director, there were 4 of them. And they all agreed that it was totally annoying and that you didn't really need it. Then we did the following. I didn't unpack the point you raised. To say, look, this is good for you, this is the future, that would have been great for you. Because they were still in such an area, retail, where I think that plays a big role, also by the customers. But what did we do then? We then said, okay, now let's try to do the whole thing pragmatically. We'll try to do the bare minimum here, and on the basis, then we already have something, then we already have a foundation. And next year we'll do it a little better, a little bit. That convinced them. That would be for now. We do the basics, yes, and then we build on that. And if we don't see this giant forest, the 1,000 trees, so to speak, we don't see the forest anymore. That's how we managed it. In the meantime, things are going well for them. They have slowly implemented it, and now they are getting better and better. Well, I would prefer it like this, you know, to convince them. But sometimes you have to do a little...
I actually have a specific question or your assessment, because it is said that the regulation, be it the Supply Chain Due Diligence Act or on the subject of CSRD, has currently caused a bit of confusion in Germany due to certain voices from politics. Do we actually have to do the whole thing at all, or can we perhaps wait and see? So we also notice also in conversations with our customers that everyone hesitates a bit at first and says, okay, maybe we have to wait and see what happens before we continue. Especially with, with projects that are now so new to us, it is always the case that the question comes, yes, what is the situation now? Do I have to do it now, or maybe I'll wait a little longer?
That's actually such a disaster, honestly. I have dealt with the supply chain law for 4 years now, and it has been dead 3 times. And 3 times you didn't know, what you did here was for nothing or not. And we are actually in exactly this situation at the moment. A minister comes here who says, this can go now. And the next one says, we're going to bolt it away with the chainsaw somehow. And then you stand there, who has now dealt with it a bit, and say, wait a minute, we have passed a law enforced by the Bundestag here. You can't just bolt it away. That doesn't work. And above all, there are a lot of companies that have put in a lot of work in the last few months to implement this. How unfair is that? Yes, and then now comes a point when I look further and think about it, then I realize, oh, CSRD, all the stuff is in there too, then I have to do that too, right? So nothing with bolting away, I have to do it anyway. So for me, I don't want to do bashing here, but politicians have a hard time seeing the big lines here, that's my impression. And that leads to the fact that nobody, as you described it exactly like that, no one knows what applies now and then. You drop the pen very quickly and say, I'll wait and see before I bend over backwards here.
But your advice is definitely to keep going because nothing will get blasted away.
Definitely. So this won't go away. We can't leave. Yes. So you can see that positively or negatively. I see it positively. I think it's also for a modern society and also for a modern company. It's a good thing. The advantages outweigh the disadvantages. We already mentioned it. Whether it's recruiting or whether these are products that are sustainable, they sell better. You can't get rid of that. And you can, in the way you approach the issues, you can start with 100% or with 75%, right? And then continue so that you can get back into it immediately when things continue. But definitely the situation is difficult. And I understand the companies. I feel sorry for them, the companies. But keep going, please don't drop everything. A little less gas, perhaps?
I would now like to get out of the emotion a bit that it may not be in vogue at the moment to bring the Supply Chain Due Diligence Act forward and simply go further. Well, we've talked about it now. We've also touched on the whole topic of reporting a bit. And since we have you here, Christoph, what is happening in regulation from the legislation? What is in store for us, or what is important from your point of view? What should entrepreneurs know? Which laws are relevant at the moment?
Yes, perhaps you can't give such a general answer to that, because every company has its focus, of course. If I somehow produce cement now, yes, and then of course the climate issue is very central to me. Yes, because a lot of CO2 is produced in cement production. If I have a service company, it's something else again. Well, you can't say that in such a general way. There are a few laws, which we have all touched on a bit here, which have a greater significance for many than they still think today. That is this deforestation ordinance. It's about, just very briefly, that we might shed a little light on it. So there are certain raw materials that are related to deforestation. Yes, so with cocoa, coffee, I think that makes sense to everyone, including cattle, which graze on areas that have previously been deforested. This is also a raw material. The others are wood, soy, oil palm, from which palm oil is made, and rubber. So 7 in total. I hope I haven't forgotten anyone now. And of course, you can make a variety of products from them. It all has a customs number. And so the problems start to find out first, I'm affected by it. And I would always recommend that companies do the same. Because the consequence is that if they have these products that have such a customs number and then fall under this deforestation ordinance, then they have to prove that their product has been produced without deforestation. And they have to confirm this in a statement, a so-called due diligence declaration. And if you don't do that, then you are not allowed to sell your product here in the EU, in the EU market. I don't think I need to say what that means anymore.
No, because you always think that's six focus raw materials. There are actually 7. 7 exactly, but the way you say it, they go into quite a few products. Is there a list of these customs numbers, or how can I find out about them?
1-200 pages. With exceptions and changes and so on, that's just what we mean here, where it just gets difficult, where you as a company, if you don't deal with it, don't have a customs department, you can't do it.
And the question is always, who checks it?
There is an institution, the Federal Office for Agriculture and Food, which is responsible for it, so to speak, and it is supposed to check it. That's a good question, yes, because they have to somehow have the people who are there in turn. With the Supply Chain Act, I think they somehow hired 150 people, and they then diligently wrote letters and asked the companies if they had done everything. Of course, the companies didn't find that so funny either, because then there was always an uproar when such a letter came. So we'll see. This deforestation order has now been postponed by a year. So it starts on January 1st, 2026, and then it has to run. And as I said, it is forbidden to sell products that do not come from deforestation-free pro-substances here in the EU. I find that remarkable. Very few people know that. And maybe one more point to round it off. I've talked enough about burger patty now, but palm oil, for example. You can make all kinds of things out of palm oil. But not everything is possible under this regulation. You can make a soap from palm oil, for example. But the soap is not in the list. So you could sell the soap made from palm oil without proof of deforestation. You could also sell a car without further ado. It is not in the list either. But if you now only make the tire, for example, or the sealing ring of the car from rubber, and were to sell it alone, then you would have to comply with this regulation, so to speak.
Very complicated.
Did you get it?
Yes, I think so.
I'm happy about that.
Yes, and I'm also glad that I have you both here in the studio because you see me here amazed, yes, dumb with happiness, because of the regulation and because of the complexity of what opposes the companies. That's why I would perhaps go out of the laws again. So you say, okay, how can I oppose that? And I do so by analyzing what is important for me. What do my processes look like? What is crucial for me? But how can I perhaps also as a company, I come from the other side now, what can I do? How can I actively avoid mistakes? That is, there seem to be laws that I may never have heard of as an entrepreneur. Then the whole upright discussion about it, and I almost have to be careful that I really touch on the topics that are relevant to me. Yes, for example, when I have environmental issues, when it comes to deforestation and so on, how do I avoid, or conversely, how can I now ensure that I can tackle as many of these regulatory issues as possible? Not all at once, I think, that's also a good hint, but how do I avoid the mistake of forgetting something important?
Yes, I think, so if you ask me, I think there are different levels. So if I know that I'm obliged to bring transparency to my market activities under the EU EDR, for example, or under the Supply Chain Due Diligence Act, then of course I have to see where I stand again. So I always start at the beginning, but it's important to really go through it and do it as systematically as possible and also to say, I have to work my way there first. That's why it's always difficult to wait and see because you really have to approach the whole thing step by step. It's a process. We all learn, it has to be said. Nevertheless, in the end, we also have sanctions that can be imposed here. And to be really sure to be legally secure, I would invite Christoph, for example.
That's a good idea. Good, then I'll play the ball to Christoph.
Before I'm invited, I would say that I can subscribe to everything you have said. It's all 100% safe. We have already said that creating awareness, we would assume that now. But I think what's also important is that you also have the people. You may simply need a sustainability officer.
Yes, that's right.
You need a team that doesn't do it on the side. Maybe 10 to 5, just before closing time? I don't think that works. So you have to put a little effort into it if you want to do it. If you only do it so selectively, then it's such a thing. Then you somehow try to plug the gaps everywhere and still don't get ready. Something slips through your fingers.
Get to the point. I am a company. Baha, Christoph, I am coming to you and to you. I have some initial ideas. I have to do something. I want to do something in the area of sustainability. Baha, Christoph, help me. What do I have to do? How do we proceed together?
So butter to the fish. I would then ask you, first of all, what do you actually do? What is your product? Where do you actually manufacture the product? Do you have a supply chain? What kind of raw materials do you use? So those would be the questions I would ask you. I would look very much at the value chain and at your product, your employees, where you work, what comes out in the end. Those would be the things I would look at, and then we could probably sort out some things. So for example, if you now produce steel, then you certainly have a CO2 issue. Because that, I think everyone knows, a lot of CO2 is emitted in the steel production of conventional steel. If you are an insurance company now, then I would ask you other questions. Then you are a service provider or have a product that can by no means be compared with steel. Then we could certainly sort out certain things. We would probably sort climate protection further down. There are also climate issues in insurance, but they are certainly structured differently. So if you came to me in general, I would first ask you a few questions and try to find out where your points actually are. What's a bit tricky, don't know how you perceive that, is like this, there's no one-size-fits-all theme. Well, there is no checklist with which we go through it, but we just have to find out. And the truth is that most of them come to us with very specific questions because they have already thought about it a bit beforehand.
Yes, absolutely. So of course, you always have to look at companies, production, etc. So the first thing we would do in a very practical way would be to say, okay, if you really have no idea where you stand, what you have to do, then we'll come by, then we'll get the appropriate people in the company together and do a status quo analysis and actually take a close look at each other, these points together, in order to then really crystallize priority issues from them. These can be legislations. These are requirements that I have to meet, but they can also be requirements of other interest groups. These can also be customer requirements. These can be partner requirements. In order to orient oneself in this, I'll say now, jungle and jumble and chaos. So really the first step, it's always important that the right people are there. And then you can start to look step by step. What are the priorities I have? What have I perhaps already done? What is my goal? How do I want to get there? And step by step, we would really shimmy a bit to say, okay, we might have focus topics like climate, because I come from the cement industry, for example. Do I have data there? If not, how do I get data? What do I have to do? So really work your way there step by step.
Yes, well, you've already mentioned it. The data thing, I think that's very central. This is a structural task. How you get the data, how you process it, how you manage it so that you get the right results. And that's when you realize actually you need resources. And you also need people who have a bit of a clue. Nobody fell from the sky. Yes, you could. Well, except for Bahar. I think she did.
I didn't fall from the sky either.
Yes, but you dealt with the topics very early on. So I don't know how long, but...
Yes, for a while. Certainly over 15 years now.
For 15 years, everything here was still diaspora as far as sustainability was concerned. I've been doing it for 5 years now. I think it's been a long time. But most of the people who are slipping into it now have done something completely different. And then the company also has to say, okay, you're going to do it now, but I'll also send you to a training course. Yes, I'll train you. I'll give you a little bit so that you can get into it. I don't expect you to be able to do almost everything yet. I believe that this is also part of the truth. That means you need the right people who are up for it and who want to participate, and you have to train them. So I think you'll probably confirm that as well.
Absolutely.
The cross-section of the company.
Exactly.
You need someone from the purchasing department to do procurement. You need a logistics specialist, maybe even someone from IT, HR. So this is a very broad field. I actually have to bring them to the table and they just have to tell them.
I often have the situation, oh, I didn't even know that we were doing this. That's exciting.
Because they don't talk to each other about the topics. And then to come back to your question, of course you have a few things, but they already know them, the companies, that at some point, for example, they will have over 1,000 employees and may have to comply with this supply chain law, or they know that their product emits a lot of CO2, i.e. a lot of CO2 that they already know, or that they produce a lot of waste or whatever. So there, they know that, and you can say relatively quickly, okay, that applies to you, let's take a look at it now.
Are there certain industries that are already more on the way, probably energy-intensive companies than others? In other words, for those who say that the topic of regulation and laws is effective for us, do you see any tendencies there?
That's definitely the case, yes. So we can form a few clusters there. So, if you are now a brand manufacturer, for example, then you have more of a greenwashing issue to look at whether your product is properly labeled. That would be a cluster, for example. We talked about cement, steel. You are in the climate sector. If you use critical raw materials, where everyone knows, textiles, for example, some food, cocoa, bananas, where human rights violations are more commonplace. Think of the example where factories burned down somewhere in Asia because people couldn't get out of the factories. These are human rights issues that were in the textile sector. So you immediately know where to look. So these clusters exist and you can shimmy along them for a long time.
Dear Bahar, dear Christoph, unfortunately time has flown by and so we have to come to an end. I would like to thank you very much for this very extraordinary episode. I've learned a lot about laws, regulations. I have to see which laws apply to me, to us, and a big thank you to you out there for listening. My name is Tobias Kirchhoff, and if there is one thing we have refuted, it is that companies are alone in the face of laws and regulations in terms of sustainability, or only in God's hands. No, we have at least Bahar and also Christoph. And if you, dear listeners, want to know more about sustainability in business, just stay tuned. Subscribe to the podcast and we will bring you the most interesting tips and stories on the topic of sustainability in business, innovation and transformation in a resource-efficient way directly into your ear canal. You can receive us wherever podcasts are available and wherever you are. In the home office, in the car, in the bathroom, while ironing, walking the dog, in nature with children or dogs, and all information can be found, as always, under our show notes. And we should all not forget that sustainability starts with ourselves. Until next time, your
Business Shift.
Business Shift.
The podcast for decision makers and executives who want to deal with the topic of sustainability in a sustainable way. Stay curious.
Bye-bye.